Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Acolyte by Stephanie Fisher, narrated by Elizabeth Evans. Prologue. Karin had always hated executions. She hated the brutality, the needless cruelty. She hated the nearly feral thirst for violence radiating from the crowds that would inevitably gather, the smell of blood and urine, the harsh clamor of steel mixed with shouts and screams and pleas for mercy. Since the schism, there had been many executions. Some would say too many, others too few. As she stared at the motionless body lying in a pool of blood and filth in the middle of the old barn, she sincerely hoped that tonight would be different. She had always hated executions, more so now that she was to be the executioner. Bloodshot eyes blinked open, the yellow irises nearly lost beneath the patchwork of bruises and swollen flesh. The man groaned, his cracked lips parting. Even though Karin couldn't decipher the broken, garbled stream of words that fell out of him, she knew his meaning. Water. Just a few drops, enough to wet his tongue, to wash away the taste of blood and bile. It would be a mercy. Karin glanced at the trough shoved into the corner, but remained seated, perched on the edge of an empty stall door. "Vaughn," she warned, pulling her cloak tighter as another drip of rain leaked through the roof and trickled down her neck, soaking the few wisps of honey-colored hair that had escaped her braid. It was always raining on this damned island. "I have orders to discipline you if you don't stay quiet. Our master is almost done reviewing your testimony about the incident in Vale. It won't be long now." Vaughn groaned again, his burly shoulders trembling. He had been tied here for 3 days now, denied food and water as he was routinely beaten and healed and beaten again. That was the consequence of failure. And while Karin didn't know the exact details of what had happened with this man, she knew why he was here. The time mage and Vaughn's inability to detain her was all anyone in the outpost was talking about. Another moan, another feeble whimper. But then Vaughn quieted, his head slumping to the ground. "Thank the shards," Karin thought. She didn't want to have to beat him again. If he survived his interrogation, he likely wouldn't forget the things she had already been made to do. The barn door creaked open, and the low hiss and patter of the storm raging just outside the thin, rotting walls intensified. Lightning streaked the sky, and for half a heartbeat, night turned into day. Karin scrambled off her perch, then dropped to one knee.
Sire,
she stammered, wincing at the slight squeak in her voice. No matter how many times she met their master face to face, no matter how many hours she stood in his presence, she would never get used to that fog of dead air that seemed to follow him. It was like a miasma, sickly and suffocating and inescapable. The door slammed shut, the sound almost lost in the peal of thunder that boomed overhead, and a hooded figure, little more than a shadow in the flickering light of the storm, stood at the far side of the barn, unmoving, silent, but watching. Just like he had been watching that night in the tavern, the night her life had changed. Heavy footsteps echoed, and Karin's lungs began to burn. She couldn't stop her body from trembling as she ducked lower to the ground, pressing her cheek against the trampled hay and excrement that littered the floor. A gentle hand caressed her hair, and she flinched, her whole body shaking.
"Lady Fenmar."
The voice was soft, too young for the predator that lurked beneath that heavy black-furred cloak.
"Rise, child."
Karin scrambled to her feet, ducking her head and failing to completely suppress the shudder that ran through her when the figure continued to observe her. Though his height was decidedly average, his build slight, that aura of emptiness was searching. She could feel its tendrils brushing across her skin, coiling around her body like a snake preparing to devour its prey. The ether in her blood shivered when she felt him withdraw. The hood obscured his eyes. When he smiled, his full lips parting, it was merely a flash of two white teeth in the shadows.
"Has he given you any trouble?"
the man asked, his voice crisp and cultured, almost amiable, as though he were inquiring about the weather or commenting on the rain. Karin glanced at the man still bound and gagged on the floor. His yellow eyes were round and frightened, and he watched, taking in every breath, every movement.
"No, sire," she said. "He's been quiet."
The man chuckled.
"Lady Fenmar, Karin."
She hated the hand that landed on her shoulder.
"How long have we known each other now? How long have we been here, on Tempris, working together for the betterment of our people?"
"Too long," Karin thought, catching a glimpse of her sleeve. When she had first come to Tempris, her tunic had been new, bright carnation pink to match the color of her eyes. The pigment was nearly gone now, washed away by months of sun and rain and sweat.
"Sorry," she whispered, swallowing hard. "Anirin."
The name felt like ash on her tongue. Anirin gave a satisfied nod before stepping across the room and crouching in front of the man.
"Well, Vaughn."
He grabbed a fistful of dark hair, pulling the Shadow Mage's eyes to his.
"Shall we get started?"
Anirin made a gesture, and Karin rushed forward, placing an old rickety chair behind him before skittering a safe distance away. Anirin swept his cloak to the side, revealing a formal frock coat made of deep blue satin and trousers to match. His face remained hooded as he lowered himself into the chair with effortless grace.
"You may show your respects,"
he said, and pushed a boot forward. Vaughn struggled, flopping awkwardly as he tried to inch his way forward with both his arms and legs bound tightly behind him. When he was able, he placed his lips upon the polished leather of the man's boot.
"Sire,"
he whimpered pitifully.
"Have mercy, sire. Master, I did not know that the girl..."
"And I still do not believe you," Anirin gestured idly, barely more than a flick of his finger.
"Karin, if you would be so kind."
Karin approached the Shadow Mage, doing her best to ignore his increasingly desperate petitions for mercy, as she pulled a small dagger from the sheath at her waist. Its wooden hilt felt warm against her chill skin, and her expression remained stoic as she dragged her palm across the blade. So much of shadow magic was tied up in bloodletting. All shadow mages eventually learned to ignore the pain. Blood welled around the cut, and she channeled her ether, slowing her body's natural healing as she crouched in front of the man. Grabbing his hair, for he had yet to cooperate with anyone that had approached him, she thrust her palm into his mouth, using her magic to bolster her strength when he began to struggle. Eventually she felt something catch, like a gentle tapping on the inside of her thoughts. He'd swallowed. Not much, barely a drop, but it was enough. Enough for her to tug at that little piece of her magic, to send her ether coursing through his veins, infecting every part of him. She gave a silent command, and he swallowed. One mouthful. Two. She pulled back, standing to her full height. Her heart thumped, her stomach turned, but as she gazed down at this traitor, at the blood smeared across his lips, cheeks, and chin, she thought only about the spell and the very next step. Her mind curled around his, invading every dark corner, every hidden recess. An entire lifetime of memories and thoughts and secrets laid bare before her. She retreated. His mind wasn't hers to pillage. That would be their master's privilege.
"He's ready," Karin said, and stepped back. "He'll tell you whatever you want to know."
She continued to watch, taking in every movement and twitch. Even though Vaughn's magic had been drained slowly and methodically over the last 3 days, he was older and more powerful. He could still put up a fight if she let her guard down.
Good.
Aniran crossed an ankle over his knee.
Now, Vaughn, tell me about the Time Mage.
Vaughn resisted at first, but a tug on the spell was all it took to set him babbling. About the human girl that had snuck into the Veil Relay, about her warning to Rhyme, about the spells inscribed on her arm and what they concealed. On and on, the details spilled out of him. Occasionally, she felt a faint nudge of resistance, so she would delve deeper, digging in her claws and prying apart those memories he seemed so reticent to share, forcing the words past his lips. Desire. Lust. He had wanted this girl. He had known what she was, sensed the magic in her blood from the beginning. But he had still wanted her because she had reminded him of someone else, someone he couldn't have. They were so similar, and he just wanted a taste, one little taste before he had to turn her over. It was that single moment of cruel stupidity that had cost him. Karin saw the gun, felt his memory of that cool barrel pressed against his chin. The pain of that single gunshot to the head reverberated through her. And then the explosion of energy and light and magic that erupted from the girl. Just the memory was enough to leave Karin blind and breathless, grasping at the spell. The Time Mage, little more than a child, had caught him unaware. Vaughn was panting when he finally finished the full account, and blood streaked with spittle dripped from his open mouth. He looked up, his eyes wide and pleading. He had stopped struggling against his bindings, and his body lay prone. Aniran didn't speak for several long moments. His fingers drummed against his thigh as the lightning flickered, a low rumble of thunder quickly following. Karin found herself taking a step back as she felt the ether around him begin to ripple. Finally, Aniran rose from his seat and began to circle the panting Shadow Mage, still kneeling in a patch of blood-soaked hay.
Now that, Aniran mused, is a very different story than the one you originally told me.
Even the storm raging outside quieted, holding its breath as the predator homed in on its prey.
So, if I am to understand you correctly, Aniran went on, the first Time Mage to appear in over 2 centuries stumbled into your post like a gift from above, and instead of trying to woo her, instead of using charm and tact to play on her sympathies, you attacked her, you attempted to rape her, and then, worst of all, you lost her.
Aniran ticked off each sin on those bony, 2 pale fingers. Vaughn rasped,
But, sire...
Shut him up! Karin flinched at the snarled command, quickly tightening her grip on the spell. Vaughn whimpered, and then quieted. Aniran clenched and unclenched his fists. His attention flicked to Karin.
Tell me, how long have I been planning this assault?
2.5 centuries,
Karin mumbled hoarsely. Although the war had been raging quietly in the background for far, far longer, their master, or rather the thing inside him, was old. Older than the oldest immortals, older than she could even begin to fathom. He had been planning his revenge, plotting to bring down the heavens since before time began.
Yes.
Aniran crooned with an almost imperceptible nod of his head.
2.5 centuries since we lost our last Time Mage. 2.5 centuries since we forfeited what would have been complete control of Tempris. It has taken 2.5 centuries to regroup, to build our army, to choose our moment.
With a sweep of his cloak, Aniran crouched, tucking a finger underneath the Shadow Mage's chin and forcing his eyes up.
Vaughn, he said, almost gentle.
Vaughn started to shake in earnest.
I have no need for sentient stupidity. So, I'm going to give you one chance.
One chance to tell me something, anything, that might convince me not to turn you into one of my puppets. Tell me, Karin.
Another flash of those teeth. Would you recommend ascension to our friend here?
Karin clamped her lips together and shook her head. Even after a year, she could still feel that gaping hole in her anima, where a piece of her soul had been carved out, the wound left to fester. She had never wanted to come to Tempris, to join this cause. She had only been at the tavern that night because Asher had dared her, said that she was too prim to ever step foot in a common bar. But Aniran, who had called himself something different back then, had found her and made his offer. And when she refused, he had taken away her ability to say no. He had turned her into one of his ascended. That piece of her soul passed around to his cronies like a leash.
I didn't think so, Aniran said, then turned back to Vaughn. With that in mind, what have you to say in your defense?
Karin loosened her hold on the spell, just enough for him to speak. Vaughn gulped in a breath.
I think I know where she went, he said in a rush. I lost her at the old palace. There was a portal inside the gates, and then Breena...
Breena? Aniran asked. Vaughn nodded.
Yes, sire. Breena Venwraith. I was told she died. I have reason to believe that she bound her anima inside the enchantments concealing the girl's magic.
Why would she do that? Aniran asked. Why would she protect a time mage?
Breena Venwraith was assigned to protect the High Lord of Water. It was not her mission to search for the time shard.
Vaughn began to tremble, and once more Karin felt a tug of resistance. She twisted her claws deeper, and the shadow mage groaned.
Her daughter.
A pained gasp.
The time mage was the child of Breena Venwraith. Corinna, though I suspect that is not what the girl is known by now. I lost them at the gates of the palace when Breena opened a portal. I fought, sire. I tried to recover the girl, but Breena, she summoned fairy fire. She used the spirits of the dead to steal the girl away.
Vaughn whimpered as the hand gripping his chin moved to his neck.
I am very disappointed, Vaughn.
The hand began to tighten.
So very disappointed. We just need to lure the girl out.
There were tears in Vaughn's eyes now, streaking the blood on his face.
There has to be something she cares about. Something we can use to draw her out of hiding. We just have to figure out what that is.
The sagging hood tilted, as though considering the proposal, and the fog of dead air, suffocating in its emptiness, quaked. Karin took another step back when she felt that hollow void brush against her.
We don't even know who this girl is, Aniran said. How are we supposed to gather information on a person without a reliable name?
Please,
Vaughn begged. Karin could feel his fear through the hold she still had on his mind.
There was a transmission. The girl managed to contact Rhyme on the relay system. Vale's outpost was destroyed, but Rhyme may still have a recording. We might be able to find something to identify her.
Aniran clicked his tongue.
That's not good enough.
There's more!
Vaughn sobbed as the smell of urine permeated the air.
Please, please wait, there's more. When the enchantment matrix containing her magic shattered, she went somewhere. She projected her anima.
Aniran released his hold on Vaughn's neck.
Who was the anchor?
A boy,
Vaughn panted.
I was still trying to work my way free of her magic at the time, so I couldn't follow properly. but I saw a flash. It was a boy pulling her through.
Would you recognize him?
Vaughn nodded eagerly.
Without a doubt. And if we get the boy, the Time Mage will follow. I'm sure she'll come for him.
Aniran's fingers still hovered over the Shadow Mage's neck while he deliberated. After a long moment, he said,
You have made things far more difficult than they needed to be. However,
he rose,
for the moment, you are still more valuable to me as you are.
Aniran gave a slight nod as he straightened his cloak, and Karin released the spell. Vaughn slumped to the floor, wheezing as he sucked in gasps of air.
Well then, Aniran said, idly picking at the sleeve of his coat. I guess this means we're off to Rhyme.
We, sire?
Vaughn shoved Karin away as soon as she cut his bindings.
Yes, Aniran replied. I want this Time Mage, and since you can no longer be trusted to act on your own, I will be seeing this matter through, personally.
Aniran jerked his head, and Karin bowed, grateful for the chance to leave. As she heaved open the barn door and stepped out into the darkness and rain, she sent up a silent prayer to the shards, for the Time Mage, for this island, for the home she'd left behind. But not for her. After the things she'd done, it would be a mercy to join the dead. Chapter 1 From the personal notes of Azura Rain, High Lady of Time.
The world ended today, by my own hand. I shut down the gates. I take full responsibility for every death, every lost colony, every life inexorably altered. I say a silent prayer for my friends who will have to live in the world that comes after, and now I go freely into my exile. I deserve far worse than an eternity alone.
The door was locked, and truthfully, Talia Caro wasn't sure why she had expected anything different. Every door she had tried in this damned place was locked. The windows even had bars. Beautiful filigreed bars made of gold-painted iron, but bars nonetheless. Tally took a step back. The door was a great massive thing made of carved oak that swirled together in nonsense patterns. A subtle shimmer covered the surface like a veil. The handle was made of gold. She reached out one more time, as if something might suddenly change, and then immediately snatched her hand away, hissing, "Shit, shit, shit," as well as other more colorful curses when her fingers continued to tingle. The door wasn't just locked. It was sealed with warding magic, and there were only two reasons to use warding magic. The first was to keep things out. The second, to keep things in. In this case, she was more inclined to believe it was the latter, confirming her rising suspicion that she was now, indeed, a prisoner. It wasn't just the door that had led her to this conclusion, rather a collection of variables, all gathered within the handful of minutes since she'd awoken. Tucked in with care in a massive bed piled with pillows and quilts. If the circumstances didn't seem so dire, she might have been impressed by the list of problems she'd managed to acquire in so short a period. The most problematic being that she didn't know where she was, or how she had gotten here. She was clean, her hair washed and braided, and someone had replaced her smoke and blood-stained leathers with a gauzy nightdress. But she couldn't say who. The last thing she remembered clearly was meeting a woman claiming to be the Time Queen, and then nothing. Just darkness. A long line of windows spanned one wall of the apartment, curving in a way that reminded her of a tower. Just beyond, rolling green hills rose in the distance. It was summer, warm and sunny, lovely in the way that all Tempest summers were undeniably lovely. That was also a problem. It had still been spring when she'd left Ebondrift, still cold and raining when she'd been dragged into that swirling portal, taken from a place that had been left to ruin,
and deposited at the gates of a palace that was too shining and new to exist anywhere on the ramshackle island she called home. It was as if she had been plucked from one place, one time, and transported somewhere else. And that was a very big problem.
"Breathe," Tally murmured, squeezing her eyes shut. Yes, this place was impossible. That woman was impossible.
But she wasn't dead, yet, and she hadn't been recruited into some unknown undead army, yet. On the other hand, she was at the Time Queen's palace, being held in a locked room by the most vilified woman in all Fey history. A woman that had committed wide-scale genocide of every known species in the Fey Imperium, whose actions had precipitated a centuries-long hunt for anyone unlucky enough to be born a Time Mage. Which Tally was now, a Time Mage.
Fey.
Turning from the door, she let her eyes drift over the room. She had two choices. She could stay and wait, see what her captors wanted, and hope they meant her no harm. Or she could escape, and then figure out the solutions to all of her many problems from the relative safety of anywhere else. She preferred option two, escape. The words solidified in her mind as Tally strode further into the apartment. She was trapped and alone with no plan and no way out. Dread began to creep in, but she pushed it back, murmuring under her breath, "Just think about the next step." That's what Yvain had always said. "Don't panic. Don't get bogged down in the details. What's the next step?" That was easy. She needed shoes and weapons. Real clothes would also be nice, and she already had an idea where to find them. The rooms flowed from one to the other, separated only by thick velvet curtains draped across each open doorway. There was a parlor, a music room, even a small library with an attached study. And inside the bedroom, hidden behind a panel that swung open when pressed, Tally found a corridor that ran around the back perimeter of the apartment, leading to those rooms that were typically set aside for personal use. The carpet was soft beneath her bare feet as she made her way down the hallway, each side lined with more doors, all of them locked save for two. The first led to a washroom that was as grand as everything else in the apartment, and the other? Well, it wasn't what she had expected to find, though Tally wasn't sure why she bothered being surprised, as she stood wide-eyed and gaping in what had to be the largest closet she'd ever seen. There were rows upon rows of corsets and ball gowns and dresses of every style and color. Fashions she recognized, others she didn't, and some she had no words to describe. It was all entirely impractical, of course, too heavy and restrictive to allow for fighting or running. Still, she thought, picking at the skirt of a nearby dress that looked as wide as a tent. It was a lot of fabric, good quality, too, thickly woven. Tally smiled as an idea began to form. The doors and windows were locked, but there had been a terrace. From what she could tell, she had been put in one of the palace towers. It was a long way down, but still, that was something she could work with. Running her fingers along sleeves and ruffles of silk and lace, she picked up a pair of shears that she found tucked in a sewing basket along the way. Then, choosing a random gown, she began cutting the jeweled satin into strips. When she'd reduced the dress to nothing but ribbons, she grabbed another, then another. She braided the delicate fabric, tied the woven cords end to end until she had the beginnings of a rope that she felt confident would hold her weight. "Never thought I'd be here," she thought as she ripped another dress off the rack. Granted, she had read her fair share of stories about princesses trapped in tall towers. Both Fey and mortal alike had a strange fascination with locking their women up at high altitudes. But she'd never expected to find herself stuck in an actual tower, imprisoned by an evil queen. But then again, her life had taken a lot of strange twists lately. So she kept cutting and ripping and weaving,
until she was surrounded by the decimated remains of dresses that, though lovely, would go on to serve a far better purpose than accompanying some snobby fey noblewoman to some equally pretentious.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?